And then we're going to follow this agenda.
Steve Mose, Unit 124, Westchester, Ohio.
Angie Smith, Louisville, Kentucky, 117.
Kit, I'm from Louisville.
Where are you from?
Louisville.
117.
Oh, Louisville.
I'm John Nichols from Indianapolis.
Nice to meet you.
Liz Brown, Unit 130, Indianapolis.
Okay.
Mary Beth Russell, Indianapolis.
Great.
Daryl Holt, Unit 164.
This is our district director.
Sandra Holt, Lexington.
Nice to meet you.
Lori Harnum, Dayton.
Okay. Now, Lori, we have an extended agenda. There was one at every table, and we have a shortened agenda, and maybe Mary Beth will give you one.
It's really not shortened, it's just...
It's small. It's for young people. Right. Now, the first part of this agenda are the things that have been covered the last two roundtable meetings. And because our time is shortened, I'm going to drop down to the bottom part. How many of you teach beginning bridge? One, two, or like a
kid does,
kind of like a refresher course. I also consider beginning. I want to start by telling you a story.
I teach intermediates.
Okay, that's perfect.
Everybody.
I have a neighbor. She's lived by me for over 30 years, and she played bridge actually before I did. I played a little bit in college, and then not for 25 years. But Carol lived next door to me, and she was always going to social bridge groups, and she got me involved a little bit in bridge. And I decided I really want to know what I'm doing, so I started at a community center with Patty Klein, who's now deceased. Took three classes, beginning, intermediate, and advanced. I thought I really knew the game. So I continued to go to classes with her. And when I finally got interested in duplicate, I said, Carol, I'm going to learn to direct a game. And I said, please bring one of your friends and come over and play. And she said, I'm not interested in competitive. And I said, well, it's mostly for fun. And when I become a director, I'm going to run a game for non-light masters. So she said, okay. So she came over, I don't know, started a bridge club in 96. I think she came over and started playing with a friend. And I had a non-life master game, had been teaching a couple years, and they were all my students, and Carol was one of them. But she never took a bridge lesson. She said, I know how to play, and I just play for fun. I said, okay. So she and her friend, the friend became a life master, came over and they played every single week. One week after the game, I was scoring it, and she came up the desk and she said, something happened today. And I lectured him a little on your partner's your best friend. Always be nice. Everybody's learning. Do not criticize your partner, whatever you do. But she came up the desk and she said, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. She said, are you not allowed to underlead an ace in a suit contract? And I said, well, the teachers teach you don't usually underlead them in suit contracts because you want to capture queens and kings with them, but it's very frequent in no trump. Did you do that today? And she said, I did. And she said, my partner took the trick, and later on then I took the ace and captured an honor. And the two ladies sitting against me said, well, where did you learn to do that? And kind of mean. And I said, they shouldn't have said that to you, hon. And she said, I don't think I'm ever coming back. And I said, did they say it angry? I certainly didn't hear this. And she said, no, but they said it like they're a lot better than me. And so we had a little talk about not letting ugliness ruin your enjoyment of the game. And I encouraged her to come back, and I haven't seen her since. She never returned to the Columbus Bridge Center. And that kind of taught me something. And then I took Audrey Grant's courses, and she's very fastidious about kindness to opponents, to your partners. I've heard it so many times, you kind of get bored with it. And so one of the things I started at the Bridge Center is called a homestyle game. Have any of you run it? I had about a 15-table homestyle game. This is on the ACBL website, and it tells you how to run one. And what it is let's pass this around if you want to look it over. What it is a rubber bridge, which you convert to imps and put in the computer. And I ran it from 3 to 5 on Wednesday afternoon after the duplicate game, and I told them, we're welcome to play till 5:30, but then we'll cut the game. And that thing built to about 15 tables, and a very few came in to start in the non-life master stuff and everything. But I learned that there's people who they're shy and they're sensitive, like my neighbor. They can't stand what they interpret as criticism. And if they want to only play social, that's fine with me. And I never pushed them. And the game was hugely successful. And that's all. When they start to get master points, they get very interested. You know, mm-hmm. A quarter of a master point is the world to them. But over the years, I've just learned so much about the treatment of them. And I have always tried to protect the non-life masters, because in an open gamer, we run a lot of handicap games. The director can't keep track of the sarcasm and the things that happen at the table. Sometimes you don't know what's going on. So I was always real sensitive to that when I ran the Bridge Club.
So do you charge people for the homestyle bridge?
I absolutely did.
What did you charge?
Oh, this was years ago.
Okay, you don't run it anymore.
In 96, we started with $4 entry.
But I meant for the home.
We have a 7-table or 8-table home style on Wednesdays. Same as the open
same,
game.
Same for the regular game. They played yep. the same.
And what we found is the people who play in home style don't play in duplicate.
No, they don't.
Okay. And that's fine.
Very
I agree.
Few.
We think it's important to keep the home style. In fact, grow it.
I agree.
I got called about 3 years ago by Community Hospital in Indianapolis, and their senior outreach program. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting at the club, directing the game, and they called me. I said, do you have anybody who could run a rubber bridge tournament?
Oh,
and,
a tournament.
Well, they called it a tournament. And I was like, well, okay, I can do that. And I'm like, well, in the world do you do the rubber bridge tournament? you know, I played rubber bridge for a lot of years with, you know, 3 tables of friends. And I'm getting, you know, we get 10, 12, 15, 20 tables for those. I do it like 4 times a year. And I've started getting calls from other people wanting me to do the same. And what I've discovered is that there are rubber bridge games. Of course, I'm not, zillions of them out there in people's homes. But there's several restaurants in Indianapolis that have this little side room. And from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, they don't care what you do there.
We have the MCL cafeteria.
MCL does it. Uh-huh. There's a couple of others. They will let you use this room for just anything you want, no mm-hmm. charge.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know.
If you just buy lunch there.
Huh? Well, yeah. I think they figured that enough of the people will buy lunch there that they'll make some money.
Stay for dinner or something.
Yeah, stay for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I finally got the people at the club convinced that we need to find some time when we can start running some rubber bridge.
Now, is John the only one and Steve who've run homestyle games?
Mike Lipp in our unit runs the homestyle game.
Okay.
You wouldn't think his personality is very welcoming, but he's had more success with non-life masters than anybody in our club.
That's great.
Now, what I found,
very nice.
It's too much for them to comprehend scoring. A lot of them knew a little about rubber bridge, but converting to imps and putting it in the computer, they just never knew how I did that. But after they play a year, some of them start to learn that. And then the second part applies where you can start a homestyle Swiss. But you got to get them really familiar with the pairs and all friends, and then they love the Swiss team. And then you just teach them how to convert to imps, and much easier to put in a computer. But
there is a victory point scale for this exactly.
Yes.
You put in the net score from a rubber score.
Right.
And it gives you victory points.
Yep. Right.
You don't have to do anything.
Right.
You don't even have to go through.
But anyway.
One of the things we do to supplement that game, in fact, I think we get more tables at this than we do at the homestyle game, and we think both are important, is we have a supervised game whose focus
Steve,
is.
Could you talk a little over the air conditioner?
Sure. Mm-hmm. We have a supervised game that has a number of experienced players who are coaching friendly. They're not necessarily teachers,
uh-huh.
but they're good coaches.
Uh-huh.
And what we do is we just run, I don't know, it's 11, 12, 13, 14 hands
uh-huh.
in 2 hours. And people will play and they'll have questions. You might have four questions at the same table,
uh-huh.
but people can ask those questions with their cards in front of them.
Uh-huh.
And they get their answers, I got it. And then uh-huh. They can carry on. And we actually get up to 12, I think the biggest we've had is 12 tables
uh-huh.
on a Saturday morning from 9:30 to 11. The 9:30 start gives them a 20-minute beginner lecture.
Uh-huh.
Bob Fisk is one person who does it, but Joyce, what's Joyce's last name? I'm sorry, I'm forgetting.
We have Sam Hinkle doing the same thing.
But we've had to actually grow that to Tuesday afternoons.
Wow.
From 3 to 5:30. I mean,
nice.
We just couldn't handle the game size on Saturdays.
What's the master board
level? We wanted to try to do it 0 to 20.
Right.
We moved it to 0 to 100 because we realized there were a lot of people between 20 and 100 that didn't know what they
Nothing.
Were doing.
Right.
Okay. And they were very friendly, and they wanted to be part of this. And they show up, I mean, we might. So what we try to do, if you have more than 20 points, you play at one table. If you're 0 to 20, you play
Perfect.
At another table. So we try to keep the peer group the same.
Right.
But you'd be surprised how motivated these folks are. And the good thing is it keeps them coming back to the Bridge Center.
It does, now, and they get to be friends.
We've had more people sign up as members from that program, although it's only been like 5 to 15 people in a given year. But we've had more people sign up for a membership coming out of that than learn bridge in a day.
How did you advertise
it,
Steve? Social bridge players.
It's all word of mouth. What brings new players to us is our players going to friends who go to friends
mm-hmm.
and they bring them back. It's kind of like a social network thing.
And they have templates on the ACBL website. Even back then they did. And I would have a stack of them and I'd say, give them out and say, please give this to any friends you have that are interested in bridge.
Yep.
And that, like he says, the other thing you do is you tell them you're happy to answer questions if you can talk to the whole table because they're shuffle and dealing. So, you know, the people across the room, it just makes no difference.
It is important that you pick your coaches wisely.
Oh, yeah.
They have to be newbie friendly. If they're not newbie friendly, if they show the kind of condescension or sarcasm I know better and I'm here to prove I'm
right,
you don't want that person in the room.
Right. I know everything.
You want somebody who's a really good coach who can really
Absolutely.
Answer a question with a question and help people think through what they're trying to do.
But I personally feel that is one key for getting people in the club. And then the other thing I wanted to address, if you're not running a homestyle, think about it. The other thing I wanted to address, and I get this from so many years of lectures by Audrey Grant at the American Bridge Teachers Association convention, there might be 125 attending, and 100 of those are not life masters. They want to learn, how do you teach bridge? I'm not an expert, but I want to know how to do it. And starting with Audrey Grant, who gives a two-hour lecture every year, they absolutely love her. Our survey, she is number one top. And this year we had Bob Hammond and Jerry Helms, and Audrey Grant brings in the top ranking on the surveys. So nice people that want to teach the game, that are very cordial to their audience and you are somewhat of an entertainer, they are the people that get people to come back and back and back to Bridge. So one question I wanted to address, and I know we're short on time, is what do you think about insisting teachers are accredited before they go on the website? And the ACBL has kind of stepped into this through some of their heads of education. Anybody could hang out a sign and say, I'm teaching Bridge, and list themselves on the website for many years. And about 4 years ago, they decided, we really want you to take instruction in teaching beginners, and you can do that through TAP course or through Marty Ronimus, who started that Easy Bridge game, which we've also done at our club. But it's analogous to Learn Bridge in a Day. You get them in there and you give them the razzle dazzle of transfers in the second lesson, and it isn't long before you're so far over their head they just get bored, and you know, they think, I can't do this. And that program started with 6 free lessons. I went from 86 students the first time I taught it, and after 6 weeks of the free lessons, it dropped in half. And I thought, why aren't they continuing? Well, that's why. They aren't being offered a course that builds. And I wondered what you thought of making teachers be accredited. Are all of you TAP course people? Do you think you need it?
You mean, are you talking about you have to be accredited in order to get on the website and look at information? That's ridiculous.
No, not look. You can look at anything you want on the website.
I
think she's just saying that
they will not.
They list people on the website who are TAP accredited.
You cannot be listed unless you have had accredited instruction, in which some of these simple little things are covered.
Well, it could be right. I think it can be TAP, undergrad, Easy Bridge.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But
I won't list you unless you're accredited.
You're interrupting me.
So sorry.
All right, Kit.
I was in Reno, and I took the TAP accreditation course, and it was the most worthless thing that I've ever done.
It wasn't.
It was horrible.
When I took it, it was from Audrey Grant. In 1994.
But they have like 20 different teachers and stuff.
I know. I've heard some of them. My sister took it and she said, that woman was terrible. You know, what did I pay the money and take that for?
AJ started. He paid the money and he just left.
Did he?
At the first break, he just quit. You know, so.
We have 10 teachers in Cincinnati on the Cincinnati Unit website, and none of them are accredited by any of the vehicles that you talk about,
mm-hmm.
but half of them are very practiced in teaching
mm-hmm.
people. And one of the issues that we ran into through the work I've been doing on the committee
mm-hmm.
is that the ACBL doesn't know who's teaching, mm-hmm. who's the first line of contact with a potential new member.
Mm-hmm.
And not knowing that is a major issue. That's why I've asked for help to try to get the names of our teachers from each of the units,
mm-hmm.
whether they're accredited or not, because
sure.
the ACBL wants to know who they are.
Sure.
So that we can give them some resources and guide them toward eventual accreditation.
Absolutely.
I've been sick, he's been sick. My brain has just been...
As long as I can get it before
somewhere
the,
else.
As long
care.
As I can get it before the 22nd of the month,
I'll make
happy.
Sure I do it as soon as I get home.
Sure.
And we can give you the Columbus ones that aren't.
That'd be great. That would be really, really
yeah.
good help.
You got ours, right?
I got yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have Evansville.
Okay.
You'll get ours, too.
Sure.
I'll send them
no
right
problem.
Away.
So on
oh,
the
no problem. I trust that. That's not
on the one hand, it can be helpful to learn this generic things, which includes cordialness to students. And on the other hand, some people don't need that. And the first teacher I had was a lady named Patty Klein. I doubt very much that she was ever accredited in anything, but she was a wonderful, gentle lady that never let you get discouraged or feel bad. And, you know, some people don't know that innately.
It's kind of personality dependent.
It is.
I mean, it'd be almost better if you
had some way to accredit people by, you know, a few other teachers that we respect saying, yeah, this person's doing a good job, rather than they went to the TAP or they went to...
You could accomplish the same thing.
Beginning bridge. Most anybody knows, you know, most anybody out here knows the material well enough to teach beginning bridge. It's the attitude and the way we...
It's the attitude and that some of that stuff is standard.
And you can go taste TAP.
Right.
And take any of those things.
Right.
And if you go to Audrey, I've been to Audrey Grant stuff a bunch. If you go to Audrey Grant, the attitude and stuff, if that doesn't rub off on you, you're in bad shape.
That's right.
But it doesn't mean, you know,
she repeats it so many times.
The fact that you set through it doesn't mean you've got it.
I agree, John. One of the things that I was struck by, having read some 450 responses to that survey, was how people focused our teachers and our club managers are. I said how people focused our club managers and our teachers are. There's a bunch of caring that goes on, and that's really good. And I'd also like to care for those people who are trying to recruit bridge players, but maybe don't have the time or the funds to get TAP accredited right now.
Right.
But I'd love to have them available, and I'd love to help build their business. Right. I mean, get more people through the door, please. That's
and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing.
No. And
in
I think,
fact, what? In fact, the ACBO, I think, is in the last stages of installing an electronic application for customer relationship management, which means you can have a central database of everybody who contacts anybody here and wants to know about how to play bridge, so that you can have coordinated follow-up, you can point people to teachers, you can begin
matching personnel. That's nice.
All of that stuff is going to be possible in about 6 months.
That's
so
absolutely.
We want to get ready for that.
Yeah. Right? This CEO, this new one, as you all know,
yeah.
I mean, he really has some insight into bringing people into the game. And remember the story I told you about Carol, because 50 years of playing bridge and one comment sent her out of the bridge center for good. She's still playing.
Yep.
You know, there's upsides and downsides to things. But one thing I thought I would this isn't the first time I've proposed it to the district. I think if we would offer the course, I put the summary. It costs $1,700, but you can charge $95, have 20 people attend, and you recover your funds. It isn't that the district has to outlay it and send the money to the ACBL. They don't. They get to keep it themselves. And I don't know what it costs in Gatlinburg. This is Joe Wernette and Cheryl Schneider from Columbus. And Joe, did you take the TAP in Gatlinburg?
I did. I think it was 165.
165?
I think so.
How many were in the course?
24?
Well, they made money. And
that's,
one thing
that's why they can't get anybody to get accredited. I mean, you know.
That's huge.
That's a lot of money.
Once you take the TAP course, you can retake it for free. And I know it seems oversimplified. It did when I took it. Audrey Grant was such an entertainer and so interesting. I would never have thought of dropping out of it, because I learned a lot from her, not bridge-wise, but handling a student wise. But if you pay for the TAP once, you can always take it for free again. And these teachers we have at the ABTA meetings, they might have 100 or 200 points. Those ladies go back and take that again, you know, and maybe some of that basic bridge is teaching them also, and then they go to teach it to other people. Some of them get very good at it. So
I think the ACBL should offer more information on a free basis to people that they want to teach. Because that's what they want, is they want more people to teach and want people to learn.
Right.
I don't understand why they're charging.
I'll never go, because I either have to go and give up Lane Bridge if I'm at a tournament, or go take 2 days early to the National and pay another $150 for a hotel room. I'm not doing it.
And the fee for the course, too.
Right, I would even be happier if they do it online.
But maybe there's a stepwise, you know, just like you have to take baby steps to become a bridge player, maybe there's a baby steps to become a teacher, too. And part of it is you got to get comfortable teaching beginners, and you do that before you become accredited. You do that by teaching beginners.
You know, you're the one that keeps telling me everything should be technological. Why don't they teach that course online?
The ACPL just put a great deal of resources for teachers on their website.
I've read a lot of the stuff that's on there. I use a lot of their resources online. I do use that.
And they've expanded that over the years, which is lovely.
They're getting into marketing programs for teachers.
But I'm not paying $400 to take some TAP course. By the time I spend the night in the hotel two nights and pay $160 and I eat and I drink, I'm not doing it.
No.
I think
not worth it.
When Kit took it, it was $125.
I think she's got her.
And I paid $125 and never took it.
That's what I paid.
So where?
$100,000, Better Bridge.
Yeah.
I took it in Phoenix for $125.
I don't.
'94.
I don't actually want a book to read. I learned by reading. I never took a bridge course in my life.
The material that they gave out.
Okay, everybody learns differently.
The TAP program was unbelievable.
Is the TAP course 10 hours?
If you would.
10 hours.
For $40.
You can do it in two days.
They did it in 3 days.
But I want a book to read.
It's shortened, though, since we took it.
I don't want to listen to garbage.
At a regional.
I want a book to read. You know, that's what I'd really like to have. I would like a
book on how to teach. You get a teacher's manual.
You get a whole bunch of
material. And I pay a lot for that, because now I get to do it on my own time.
Well, a lot of times you find that they say that they can build.
What'd you say, Lori?
I said a lot of times in a book, there's teaching, they're almost reading from the book of what's in there.
They actually are, to begin with.
Why can't I listen to that? Why can't I read the book?
You can read it. You can do as you wish.
Well, if the district hosts one, you don't have to go.
I just want to buy the book. I don't want to buy the class.
If the district what?
It's a personal choice.
What'd you say, hon, if the district?
Well, I mean, if the district hosts a TAP course and you don't want to pay the money, then don't pay the money. You know, this is free will, you know.
I agree with you there, but I.
But you're not going to change it. Either you do it or you don't do it.
I paid $125 and haven't gotten it yet. Do you think I could go for free?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can repeat it.
I haven't done it yet.
Oh, you haven't done it. Okay.
No. But you paid your fee, so that means you get it for free.
But remember, the inexperienced people who want to teach,
I don't want to teach.
They pick up so many tips from this course. Did we hear you?
I was just thinking out loud. I understand that the financial burden is severe. I also understand that our regionals vary in terms of how much money they make, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But there may be a way for us to take a look at, if we get 5 people from Louisville and 8 people from Cincinnati and add those numbers up and we do it across all the units, you could have 20 or 30 people, and if you can figure out a way to proportionally share the cost across the units, you know, or across just the 4 regionals, if you want to think about it that way, there may be a way to do it so that we can attract people.
But if you did it,
who's
going to
teach?
They send the teacher.
So
we can discuss this in the meeting tomorrow. I mean, we don't need to resolve.
For the TAP thing, it's all about the teacher you get. And it's not worth it unless you get a good teacher.
Maybe we could request Betty Starzak whenever she's available.
Yeah.
And I don't think you should hold it for free.
You don't?
No, but. To me, anything over.
Betty Tucker
would be good.
Oh, she is.
She does all these.
Yeah.
I don't think she does TAP. She does Learn Bridge in a Day.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome.
But I think, like 95, you would probably recover your money. Once you take it over 100, I think people say that's too stiff.
Well, I'm just thinking about how can we get motivated teachers that each of the units recognizes people who are capable of attracting new players the quickest way we can.
Now, that's another factor.
Everywhere I've looked, free works really well.
Free is always so much better than anything else.
But it wouldn't
free
be, it
nice.
Wouldn't be free simply because you sign up. It would be free because your unit says yes to those members, and
I
our
see.
Unit says yes to our those members, and we're yeah. willing to fund them from whatever unit resources we have.
Now, Columbus has two new accredited teachers,
wow.
and Joe Wernette is one of them.
I'm accredited. I didn't get my stuff mailed in fast enough, so I have to wait for another TAP, so I can attend for free.
But you can take it for free. Okay.
And TAPs have a ceiling, like a maximum number of people
mm-hmm.
allowed to attend, too.
Well, I don't think we need to worry about that. But the other one's well, Tim Cole.
Well, for free.
Something that we could
even if it's a cost share,
get people to agree they want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Units could kick in.
Yes,
maybe they pay $25, or maybe they do something.
Yeah.
The unit supplement.
Yeah, and the unit supplement.
Supplement. I agree. Because I don't think people would think they want to teach would think a thing about $25 or $30 for 10 hours.
You want my personal opinion about some of that, too. I don't think if you call a bridge club and ask if anybody's teaching bridge that you say, are they accredited?
No.
So
I'm.
If you're taking this accreditation, it's to make you a better teacher in your mind and for your students.
Actually,
not in order to get
actually that's not exactly true. Yeah. I've had several people contact me through the ACBL website and not the club because they go to the ACBL website and look for accredited teachers.
And what you're saying,
I have two. That's a fact.
But he is accredited, so they call him. That's the point.
I'm at the club every day. You want to learn? Come
find me. I said this at the beginning. One of the reasons I am so pro our offering that is the interpersonal reaction it teaches you with students. I just don't think there's any substitute for those little small things of don't criticize your partner, be kind to your opponents. They need to learn it right away.
I vote we table the TAP and move on to something else.
Oh, okay. Okay. We can do that.
Because we have like 10 or 15.
We've had it on the table now, and I think we've covered the whole bottom part of this agenda. And did we want to discuss pianola?
Discuss what? I'm sorry.
You mentioned it, Steve, at the beginning.
I'm not sure I remember what the... I think the discussion point, if I recall correctly, was... Do we want to have somebody from the ACBL come to
right.
show us all what pianola can do?
And I followed up on that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a webinar, remember?
Yep.
I sent an email out.
They did.
I sent an email out.
Yep. So that's
and,
what they direct us to, right?
You had to get, you know, you had to sign up and then sign up with ACBL,
mm-hmm.
and they'd hook you up to this webinar, and you'd sit there on your computer.
Now, perfect.
Nobody's going to come. They're not going to supply a warm body to come to your district.
Yeah.
No, but you can go see the webinar.
You can get
website.
On the webinar. Just call them, and you can get the pianola.
Do you know how much it costs?
No, cost anything.
No, the webinar.
Free.
To set the program up, I thought.
Oh, I don't know about what it cost ACBL.
The software.
But we can get it free.
Okay.
By just calling.
Okay.
And going right to the internet.
You can get the webinar for free.
Not the pianola.
Mike.
Oh, no,
Mike
not pianola system.
The system's
the
what I was wondering.
Learn how to operate it.
Mike
okay.
signed up to pianola for his club,
mm-hmm.
and he told me the cost for him was $150 for the year.
That's not bad, is it?
Okay.
It's based on numbers. It's based on numbers.
Can I just say something? There might be another way to have somebody come and do this. I didn't follow up with his response to me. I frequently have emails with the guy from pianola because I need him to help me get something done, and let's say it that way. And I mentioned to him that we, at our last roundtable, talked about pianola. We were hoping to have some additional discussion at another roundtable in the future. And he wrote back to me and said, well, I could come and do that. And I think he's in Tennessee. So, you know, it might be that when we're in Louisville,
yeah.
see what he would start doing. That would be if he would come and do it for free.
Would be a lot of fun. I think he'd like to
or even come
tell us about
would we be willing to fund his his hotel for one night if he came up. I mean, we could fund his hotel.
He can stay one night.
I've talked to Dan Storch, who's the marketing director, the manager.
Marketing director.
Director. And that was the answer he gave me.
But they're just doing webinars.
The ACBL is not going to come.
He sent me right over to the girl in charge of it, and she told me about the webinar and said, "Do you want to sign up? And we'll put you right on." And so I got time.
Yeah, but the angle here is that you're dealing directly with Pianola,
yeah,
not with the ACBL.
Right.
So this might be a good way. That's a good idea.
I'd be willing to follow up and give him a call.
That would be great. See if he would do it for the price of a hotel room.
He just wrote right back and said, "I'd be willing to come."
Do you have it at your club, Mary Beth? Do you have Pianola at your club?
Well, no, I'm using it for our unit because right now we have it free. And that's one of the things I had written to him and told him I wanted to talk to him a little bit about. I want to find out when it goes away and it's not free anymore, what's it going to cost our unit to use it? Because I love using it.
We use it for our district as well, so we have to ask that question.
Yes, and I've used it a couple of times for sending out things for the that were district-wide.
Perfect.
And he has recently, for those of you who don't use it, he's recently added more templates. And so, and it's interesting because when I send things out, if it goes to people who had an online question, we send some things out. And people came back and said to me, "Oh, that was the cutest thing that you sent out." Well, of course, I didn't do anything with it. It was all there for me. But I would be happy to call up and see if I like the But there are also things that we might have when we're using it that we'd like to talk to him about.
Sure.
Can we do this? Can you?
Right.
There are some glitches with it. There are some things I'd like to see if they could be done a little bit differently. So I think it would be a great discussion.
Sure.
Yeah, he may come for not very much or for free because they're in sales mode right now.
Well, for the price of a room and per diem, I would think.
Is he a bridge player?
Don't know.
Give him a couple of free games.
Oh, that's true.
Good birdie, right?
Pay his room and give him two free games or something.
I'll just call and ask him.
That's a great idea.
Good.
It is a great idea.
I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
But on getting back to our entire agenda and mm-hmm. so on, one of the things I really want to make sure that we can do at one point in time in these roundtables, because there are so many discussions of things that people would like to talk about, and I've spoken to AJ, and we've talked for a long time about having a meeting sometime where all the people who run tournaments can just get together and we can talk about, you know, what's going well, what isn't going well, what are new ideas that people have that are working for you, because every once in a while you run into something that you're not doing that somebody else is, and it would be nice if we could, you know, kind of share those ideas. And AJ really would like to have a round table where we have a tournament talk.
I got a nice comment the other day from David Goderman in here. He walked up to me and he says, "Gerald," he says, "I just want to talk to you." He says, "I want to ask you to tell me this week anything that you see that I could do that would make the tournament better for people."
This one?
I went, what a nice thing for him to say.
It is. Is he Dayton?
He's the director.
Oh, he's the director.
He's the director.
The tall.
And he's like, "So just let me know if you see anything that I could possibly do." I went, "Wow, I'll be watching."
Bless you.
So the same kind of thing with what you're talking about. Like if you're, he says, "We've had a couple of really good ideas from people just from my asking about how I can make it better for the place."
Boy, that's nice.
And the other thing is, what's the care and feeding of directors? How do we make
their life a little better?
Make their lives better.
I don't think that's possible.
I think you've hit on a really important point. I know that we have a district board and we have a district board structure, but something like a tournament committee at the district level where you'd have all of the tournament chairs coming together to work on issues routinely. maybe you have that meeting every regional prior to the board meeting.
I think if we do, if we pick out one or two areas like that, you know, like we've decided this meeting's important for us for getting teachers' ideas and club managers' ideas. I'm just offering an idea, Terrell, and I don't know where the board would be, but it might be worthy of discussion to figure out if having a standing committee for that would make sense.
Is this idea similar to the Mid-Atlantic region? Doesn't a committee run every one of those wonderful regions?
The Mid-Atlantic doesn't exist anymore.
Huh?
The Mid-Atlantic region, I don't think, runs MABCs anymore.
Really?
I don't think so. Lowry Miller used to run.
Six and seven split.
Yeah.
They split.
Six and seven were running together.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They split.
Yeah, but District Seven's running a whole bunch of tournaments.
Okay.
MABC split.
Don't you bet they have a committee like you're talking about?
They might. I know Florida has a committee. They run 11 regions.
That's a great idea.
But it doesn't even have to be with the thought that we would ever have a committee that ran all of our regionals. But it's just, but it's the idea that we all, that there are good ideas out there. And boy, where I come from, if you see a good idea, steal it, because.
Wouldn't it be great, though, to be able to have all of the regional chairs and all of the sectional chairs?
Right.
Show up in a room and talk shop.
Absolutely.
Best practices.
Yeah, absolutely.
Best practices. So I would like to get that on the schedule for.
That would be good.
You know, maybe we could do that if we can get the guy from Pianola at Louisville and maybe do this in Indianapolis. And we're at least getting started. And I think if we have some ideas that blossom, then somebody else is going to say, and we have this whole list of ideas of things that we generated the last time. But we can, I think if we have a calendar of what we're going to do for the next three regionals or something.
So I hear your suggestion at Louisville, we need to check and follow up with the Pianola individual. Mm-hmm. And then in Indianapolis, try to do the brainstorming with the chairs and sectionals and regionals.
Yeah, you might find that there's enough interest in tomorrow's meeting that we just make it a standing thing at each regional to have a meeting for the tournament chairs, period, over and out.
When are you going to keep doing the round table, also have a meeting for the round table group?
You could have a separate teachers committee. I mean, yes.
Can you put it on your regional schedule at the bottom?
You sure can.
Because.
Guess who helps coordinate all that? AJ. Okay.
I think that'd be great. So, I'm wondering why Tim Cole isn't here today. He's a new teacher. If maybe he doesn't know about it. If you could,
it's possible.
Put one sentence on your tournament schedule.
He's going to run our novice intermediate program for the national.
Yeah, he needs to be here.
That's true.
Along with Joyce itself, as long as she's in town.
That's true.
As long as she's alive.
Yeah, Joyce she's will be alive and in town.
Joyce will be alive.
But Tim's got to put his name at the top with Joyce's help. Good. Evidently, now we're going to be able to get Joe to help with that, too.
That'd
so that's all good.
It's something
great.
You might think about.
If you guys are about done with that, remember how last time we had all that brainstorming about stuff you did at clubs?
Yeah.
Okay, I tried something. And I never got a big enough group to, like, get it off the ground, like, forever and ever. But here's what I did, and you guys have better success getting more, like, 0 to 50 people in the door. But it was so much fun, and the people loved it. Okay, I played their game. These are people that are just now, they play a little, all right? So you bring them in instead of it for a class. Like if I have three tables, and I ran it like a barometer game. Okay, so what they did, the guy that was teaching this for me, he's still doing it a little bit, all right? Is he would let them play three hands all at the same time, and then he would talk about those three hands before they went on to play four, five, and six.
Yeah, we talked about
before
that.
Before they lost. Oh, did they?
I told him about Sam.
Oh, you did tell him.
Sure. And we talked about coaching.
I believe you can actually run that game for master points.
I did.
Yeah. We
but
do.
I just sort of did it my way.
And Steve said it should be more a coach type of thing, which is what Sam is.
But they didn't forget everything like so fast, like that was still sort of fresh in their memory about these three hands. I was dying to get a group that was big enough of four or five tables to really do that. So maybe some other time we'll try with a different list since I know it works.
We covered homestyle games in depth, and I didn't show you this, but this is a template on the ACBL site. And if you give something like this to everybody in classes like you're talking about, they're going to bring their friends in if they're having a good time.
Yeah.
just a little postcard on cardstock. That'll do four at a time. Something similar. Yeah,
that's
no,
like
it's a great idea.
Those new classes, I live with somebody else that gets a bridge bolt, and so we always bring one of ours, you know, to give to new players, because
sure.
I still have one at home, but, you know.
Yeah, and I'll bet that grows, too, because the gentleman that runs it's so nice.
Well, I think that it's so exciting to hear ideas. I'm also reminded of something we did in education, which was we would do a little kind of a best practices book where if you had an idea like this, you just write a one-page thing, and we might get 10 ideas from around things that you're doing. You've talked about so many. I have this interest in finding out what this thing is you do with the colleges and how that works.
Right.
But we could have a district, a little kind of a booklet.
Mm-hmm.
On the website.
On the
Don't
website.
Talk about books.
Well,
Ollie
you know
Osher.
You know what I'm talking about.
Right.
It would
yes,
be
yes,
something
no,
that we
I think
could
that's
have.
Like this group of people could discern that and decide what best practices are.
Right. It would be
really
so nice, again, to have a place that you could go. And it's sort of like, you know, women know this. You know those recipe books that we get that people have, they take to their
and we love
their church.
Right.
You never give anything that you don't absolutely love if you have your name on it.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's how it would be. It would be people that would give
that's
the
right.
things that they know absolutely would work, and then the rest of us can
I think we
use
have to
them.
Do that.
We
can
idea.
We
have
adapt
to do that.
Them. But I would like to also see if we continue the roundtables that we try to do one or two where they can be really successful and we get people excited before we start saying, well, let's have a this committee and let's have a that committee and whatever.
Yeah,
because if
I
we
agree.
Spread things out too much,
right.
then somebody that does all three things, they don't want to go to everything that you have at the tournament and then they have to just pick one. So let's try to do something that's really successful for a couple of times and get people enthusiastic.
Good
that
idea.
Would be my...
I think it's a great idea.
It is a great idea. The teachers group has something every year called the Apple Basket Contest. And the teachers submit any ideas they have of something that's worked with
right.
students. You wouldn't believe what comes in. And they
care.
Have talked about publishing a book. They might get 20 entries.
Don't say that word to Steve.
A manual. Of
a website,
online.
A
website.
Website.
An online,
website.
An online.
A PDF.
Right, exactly.
That'd be fine. But it's the same idea.
Something to think about as we prepare for the next meeting. ACBO president's going to join us.
Great.
Oh, good.
I know that's wonderful.
It's terrific.
I
didn't hear what
you
said.
You mean Board of Governor president. Bob Heller is...
Bob Heller.
ACBO president.
Okay, the president. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, is he that?
He's going to be here. He's going to be in Louisville.
Oh, great.
So,
for like 4 days.
Terrific.
You might want to advertise that. Is he going to talk?
Yeah.
We're working on it.
Okay, that's wonderful. Now, do we have any other important things we want to address?
Well, it certainly sounds like we've got a couple of really good ideas for the next two meetings.
I think we do.
And I think I agree with Mary Beth. We seem to be talking about 400 things here. We need to narrow it down.
We do.
And get one or two or three and then make it work.
And publicize.
And do those next two meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would really be very fruitful for us.
Just, I wanted to give an update. John charged me to do this before the meeting ends. We've had an amazing, unexpected success with the Ollie Osher, our first Ollie Osher offerings.
You have?
We're grossly oversubscribed. We've had to turn away dozens of people
doing?
Because we only have room for 24.
Oh, we're wearing them.
Yeah.
Okay. So we put them on a wait list, and we also offered them a different class
that
would be the same.
I can do that.
But we're really astounded by the interest.
You want to give me another
so
one?
We've had two so far.
Okay.
Well,
that's
successful?
That's what we're looking at, because what we're trying to do is to get them in the door and then get them into another set of classes or learning choices that keeps them engaged. Yeah, this is run through the University of Cincinnati, but we're doing the teaching at our group center.
Okay.
Right.
I mean,
that's what you want to do.
Are you using the club book?
I believe we are, but I don't know. I'm not the one who's running this.
They've renamed it.
Nearly every university.
No, UDO.
Ali Osher.
Has a lifelong.
Yeah, that's what it is, same thing.
I guarantee you, Columbia State.
Do we have, time for somebody to explain it? It's 10 to 7.
Ali Osher's a program where a broad range of classes are offered to adults, typically beyond the age of 50. They pay $50 for one calendar year, and they can take as many classes on any topics they want. And we simply listed a bridge class. We didn't do much to promote it.
And they do.
And we have close to 40 people expressing interest. We can only take 24.
Fabulous. Do they combine other kinds of classes?
They can do whatever they want.
They had a job, it's like a job fair.
It can be, yep.
And that's what they did in Lexington. We've already had two of those classes, like you started.
How much retention did you have?
Oh, it's not.
Well, that's what we're in the process of determining. We talked about that back yesterday.
So nobody looks at that.
She's trying to get the information.
Oh, I can take it off.
Well, that's still better than not.
That's just for us.
Like I said, have you done it in?
EMRMA.
Okay.
That's all the time we have. We're going to end this. And I thank all of you for coming. I enjoyed doing it.
Thank you, Joyce.
And all of you with buttons, you tell everybody how wonderful Columbus is.
Yeah. And